When was the last time you fought for a friendship? Not just sent a, we should catch up text, but actually rolled up your sleeves and did the messy, uncomfortable work of repair. We'll attend couples therapy to save a 6-month romance. We'll fly across the country for a cousin's wedding. But friendships? Those we let slip away with a shrug and a, we just grew apart. Yet some friendships aren't casual acquaintances or weekend brunch buddies. They're the people who become your chosen family, who shape your worldview, who know every version of you. Aminatou Sow and Anne Friedman's story reveals what happens when we treat these bonds with the seriousness they deserve and what we risk when we don't. Their story begins at a 2009 Gossip Girl viewing party in Washington, D.C. Aminatou walked in wearing a Chuck plus Blair t-shirt. Anne noticed immediately. As they talked, Anne found herself hanging on every word, laughing harder than anyone else. This wasn't just shared taste in trashy teen dramas, it was recognition. Anne was suffocating in DC's buttoned-up political culture, trying to reconcile creative ambitions with formal expectations. Aminatou was navigating visa issues and career uncertainty after graduating into the 2008 crisis. Both were at turning points, receptive to finding someone who understood without explanation. What they experienced was platonic attraction, that initial spark that can't be manufactured. Research shows friends profoundly shape us, influencing everything from spending habits to immune function. Strong friendships can increase longevity as much as quitting smoking. When you feel that rare connection, it's worth investigating. Meaningful friendships require significant time investment. Research shows thresholds of 30 hours for casual friends, 140 for good friends, and 300 for best friends. Aminatou and Anne easily surpass these through ritual texting, spontaneous apartment visits, shedding bras, queuing up DVDs, and sharing snacks, creating a judgment-free zone away from male-dominated workplaces. The comfort of doing nothing together signaled they were enough for each other, building trust that would later help them weather difficulties. Despite different backgrounds, Aminatou in Guinea and Nigeria teaching herself to read during power outages, Anne in small-town Iowa escaping through books, they discovered striking similarities. Both came from conservative cultures, wanted lives far from home, and refused to apologize for taking up space. Linguists call this a story of sameness, actively amplifying similarities while overlooking differences. This selective focus isn't dishonest. It's how early friendship works, building foundation before testing it with complexity. Within months, they became deeply attached. When Anne ended her long-term relationship, she realized through Aminatou what true emotional intimacy felt like. Aminatou supported every step, from emotional discussions to honest feedback about Anne's impulsive post-breakup haircut. When Aminatou struggled with her father, she found herself on Anne's couch crying uncontrollably, something she rarely did with someone she'd known only months. Anne remained calm and steady, passing Aminatou's unconscious test of whether showing strong emotion would drive her away. They became chosen family. Friends joined their names, Anne and Amina, Amina and Anne. They exchanged keys, cooked for each other, attended weddings together, gave joint gifts signed Love the Sow Friedmans. This expressed their political belief that friendship deserves equal importance to romantic bonds. Historian Stephanie Kuntz explains friendship expectations evolved dramatically from emotionally central 19th century same-sex friendships to the 1950s-60s when women were expected to abandon friendships after marriage. Early in their careers, both faced sexism and lack of mentorship. Studies showed 63% of women never had mentors. They turned to each other, exchanging information about jobs, salaries, obstacles. This mutual support exemplifies shine theory, the idea that I don't shine if you don't shine. When Anne's article went viral, they had to legally secure the trademark after someone tried claiming it. Friendship requires stretching, adapting to accommodate life changes. When Aminatou developed severe anemia requiring blood transfusions, both friends struggled. For Aminatou, asking for help was difficult.
For Anne, staying connected across distance while respecting privacy required new approaches. Though both stretched for each other, they failed to communicate their true feelings about the effort, causing problems later. Their friend web, an ever-changing, interconnected network spanning different life chapters, added complexity. When Anne organized a desert ladies' retreat for her 30th birthday, what began as 17 women grew to 50 by the third year. When Amina too confided about feeling betrayed by another attendee, their different approaches to friend web management created the first cracks. Anne told the women to handle problems directly. Amina too questioned Anne's loyalty. Race created another unbridgeable gap. At Anne's birthday party, Amina too realized she was the only Black person present. This triggered what writer Wesley Morris calls the trapdoor of racism. That moment when Black people in friendships with white people suddenly dropped through an unexpected opening into racial discomfort. Amina too left early without mentioning it. Months later, she finally confronted Anne, who responded defensively. This highlights the unequal emotional labor in interracial friendships. Non-white friends often must educate white friends while managing stereotypes. In January 2014, they launched Call Your Girlfriend podcast. Despite early technical awkwardness, they committed to weekly recordings. The podcast unexpectedly took off, creating a strange dynamic. Their real, sometimes messy, friendship existed alongside a public, idealized version. They joked they were too big to fail, sharing an LLC, bank account, trademark, public identity. But research shows only 30% of closest friendships remain close after 7 years. Their rough patch came at 6. Unlike dramatic breakups, their friendship simply stumbled. Miscommunications accumulated, like when Anne invited her boyfriend to dinner, hoping Amy Nattu would know him better, while Amy Nattu thought Anne brought him as a buffer. Once they stopped discussing difficult things, they repeatedly hurt each other without realizing they no longer spoke the same language. During sleepless nights, Amy Nattu contemplated ending everything. The difficult conversations, podcast cancellation, LLC dissolution, explaining to friends. Most painfully, what would seeing each other at parties be like? Despite feeling their friendship was toxic at times, neither was ready to give up. Anne reasoned, it would be so difficult to leave. It's going to be difficult to stay and fix things too. If it's painful either way, why not stay? While countless resources exist for repairing marriages, almost nothing guides friends through crises. Their professional connection created an opening. Silicon Valley's trend of couples counseling for business partners gave them permission to seek help. A decade past their meet-cute, they've lived apart more than twice as long as they live together. Experts say ages 30 to 50 are friendship low points, when unstructured time becomes luxurious rather than natural. The four burners theory suggests life priorities compete. Family, friends, health, work, and friendship is typically first sacrificed. Yet extinguishing friendship affects everything else. Loneliness has physical consequences comparable to smoking 15 cigarettes daily. Their early ideal was perpetual closeness without conflict. Now they value resilience over perfection. Big friendships require active maintenance. There's no autopilot. Researcher Emily Langen identifies three strategies: ritual, assurances, and openness. They celebrate their friendship anniversary with gifts and calls. Annual getaways serve as recommitments. Small rituals matter equally: shared photo streams for outfit selfies, consistent travel check-ins. Their matching tattoos serve as permanent assurances, an external sign they belong to each other. Aristotle believed friends hold mirrors to each other, allowing us to see ourselves clearly in ways impossible alone. Big friendships require work through periods of stretching, strain, and failing each other. The rewards are profound: being truly seen, having a safe harbor, the satisfaction of choosing each other daily, deeper self-knowledge, countless inside jokes. When you find a big friendship, invest in it and stretch for it, even when society suggests it's fine to let it languish.